Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Help me out. You guys run about seven.
Talking about Boston?
Yeah.
It's
Peyton.
Hey, it's Peyton, Horford, and Sam Hauser.
Okay, Sam Hauser. Okay. But it kind of ends there.
Yeah, and the rest is all based on matchups. Like Jordan Walsh still gets some run, but that's the regular eight.
Got you. Where's the rest of this list? So there's Boston. Denver moved Russell Westbrook into the starting lineup. Aaron Gordon is out.
Jamal was out for a couple of
days. Maybe that's what I was thinking. I feel like they're missing one other person, but maybe I was thinking Jamal being in and out. Okay, you got the Kings. The Lakers. I don't really know what to say, but I don't think the Lakers are. I don't know what to say about the Lakers.
They, their bench scoring already was kind of suspect, and then when you move D'Angelo Russell and put Gabe Vincent into the starting lineup, that'll hurt.
And it's going to get worse because apparently Jared Vanderbilt's ready to play on Saturday.
No points coming from there.
And then you've got the Knicks, who Tom Thibodeau notoriously runs a short lineup, a short rotation.
They go, I think, 7-8 deep because McBride plays, who I really like off the bench. Cameron Payne. Yeah. And I think Precious plays. I think he plays regularly. And that's about it that I can think of with bench guys with them.
Okay.
And even that, those three guys, McBride can score. But
yeah.
Payne and Precious, they're not like lighting the world on fire.
The Grizzlies run a roster.
Yeah.
They run guys. Golden State top five scoring bench. Get our jokes out. Like Buddy and Kuminga, that was, sorry Warriors fans, sorry Jim Park, that was probably 20 plus 25 maybe points per game.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Together, just those two alone.
Yeah, 15 and 10.
Yeah, right, 15, right. 15 was Kuminga. Yeah. 10 was Buddy. Mm-hmm. Hawks, I'm not even going to pretend to know. I don't know. Wizards.
They got a lot of players. They got like a deep roster.
Okay.
Bogey's coming off the bench, I think.
I'm so happy for
you got okay. DeAndre Hunter.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't watch them. They're on TV. I'm just turning it off. Yeah. I watched the Lakers and Wizards last night.
Even I didn't.
And I won't watch
your problem.
Well, you know why? When I got home and turned the TV on, what you know how like on YouTube it comes up with like, you know, based on what you watch, there was the Nuggets, but then there was the split screen with the Lakers and Wizards. Mm. I was like, oh, I'll just click that, and I lasted like a quarter before I left it. But yeah, like I don't know why I'd rather watch the Wizards and Lakers than anything involving Atlanta. And San Antonio, I just think is another thing where Pop's running guys like he's not running a
Keldon Johnson.
He's not running a strict, you know.
And Pop ain't even there. Is Pop back?
Yeah, I think Pop has been back, hasn't he?
I don't know. I didn't think he was because I really didn't hear much about it. I thought we would have heard some.
I know. Pop talked. Maybe he didn't come back. Maybe he just talked. No, still not back?
He's not back.
Yeah, maybe I know he put out a statement.
He put out a statement saying he had the stroke that one time, but I haven't heard anything since from him.
I think that would have been...
Maybe he's like, this ain't worth it no more.
That would have been one of them viral moments when he came back. You know what I mean? Like standing ovation, all that other stuff. get well soon, Pop. But, you know, I mean, but even if he's not on the sidelines, to your point, like, I'm sure he's counseling the young fellow who's running things right now.
Yeah. So I think the point of all of this is maybe there's no, like, true set formula. It is really, truly based on how your coach plays that roster. And obviously part of that is what the roster is made up. Go ahead.
For context, the KC's starting five scoring and all that. They're third in starting five scoring the Kings.
The Kings are?
Yeah, their starting five is third in scoring in the league.
And they're
90 points per game.
Bottom five off the bench. You asked.
Yeah, what's the next step in this process as far as making this team better if we're not trying to add Cam Johnson or these guys? Like, what is the next move then?
Well,
what are we holding out for though?
We are. I don't want to dismiss that.
But like what you're saying, like, they don't need to make it. Like, what were you saying? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
I think you would need a guy off the bench that can knock down an open jump shot and just a 3-and-D guy. Like Keon Ellis is that, but you probably need somebody at like 6'6", 6'7". Like
it's Cam, no?
Yeah, no, I'm saying that'd be a good look. But that's what it would be. Like I think not you, but a lot of people have the thought that Cam is you need him to come in because his scoring guy averages 15 points a game. Like he is here, he might average like 7-8 points per game.
I think Cam will at least get you a double digits, I think.
Think so?
Yeah, I think at least. Because he's good enough to where his play, I think, will, like, it'll pour out onto the court. Like, I don't think you're going to limit Cam. He's only 7-8 points per game. Like, Cam is a really good player, I think, off the bench. And I think he's perfect. And honestly, like, I think you need to add a guy like Cam or even John Collins, whoever you want to add. Just, I don't feel comfortable going into the playoffs with a 7-man rotation.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with you, but I don't know.
I don't feel comfortable if that 8th man is Len Carter, Kevin Herter either.
It's fair. It's fair.
And I agree with you. My thing is, and the thing that I look at when I'm looking at these guys is how many looks is a guy like Cam Johnson going to get to double digits? You know what I mean? Like let me see how many shot attempts he's getting right now in the minutes that he's playing. And I think you're like cutting that in half. He leads the Nets with 19.4 points per game. He is shooting the ball 13 times a night. It's probably closer to 7 with the Kings.
It's not a bad return, though.
No, it's not. He's a good ball player, but I just don't think those shots, 13 shots a night on average, aren't.
Do you think he has a minimal effect on this team if he gets here? Like his impact. What is his impact if he gets here? Like, do you see it as, like, yeah, you added Cam Johnson, but, like, how much better did we really get? Because I think it does, I think Cam Johnson does elevate you, where I mean, it's all hypotheticals and stuff like that, but I could see them winning a playoff series if they had Cam Johnson.
That's fair.
Not if you're playing the top two. Like, I think the Thunder and the Rockets will get by, but, like, I could see you beating the Grizzlies.
I think you might be a little off. Can we split the difference? He was at 13, you say 7, I think 10.
10 shots a night?
Yeah. I mean, I'm clearly on the wrong stat sheet. Like, how many does Kevin get a night? Now, his average will probably be a little wonky if I just look at the season average.
Donnie Johnson makes up a good point, too. Like, on the
standby,
nights,
I'll learn to read it. Go ahead.
On the nights where Keegan maybe isn't playing well, you could have Cam Johnson get those minutes, or kind of maybe he fills in and makes up for what Keegan's not giving you that day. It gives you the versatility that we've been talking about.
No, that's another fair. Great point. Yeah, that's another great point with one of the guys potentially being out. You don't have the doom and gloom that hit them late last season. Kevin right now, again, a bit skewed because he started 15 of the 38 games, but he's at 7.8 so far this season.
That's absolutely fair. The thing I'm looking at like Keon Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
And Keon for the season is averaging 5 shot attempts a game. I just looked in January because that's when he started to play consistently. 7.8 shots a night.
Yeah, his last 10 games is averaging 11. I think that's pretty much most of January.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Del Christie era.
Del Christie.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
He's shooting 50% from the field, 49% from three in the month of January. My goodness. He's 50, 84. Damn. But yeah, 7.8 points, or excuse me, shot attempts a night in his time in January. I think that's around where Cam would be. And like you said, Jesse, nights where Keegan, you know, maybe doesn't have it. Maybe Cam gets more looks or play. Like there's, I'm not making an argument not to try and get a Cam Johnson or not to try and get a Collins or Kuzma. I'm just saying it's going to look a little different than maybe what everybody expects it. Like, and I'm not even going to act like people think he's going to come here and be a 19 point per game scorer. I understand they don't think that's going to be the case, but are you going to average 15, 16? I don't think so.
I'm looking for 10 to 13. I don't think you need something crazy for Cam Johnson. You need just consistency from the bench. Because like you brought up the Celtics and the Nuggets. I was looking at it. Like they only have about three guys off their bench. They give you about, probably about like 25 points. Like Peyton Pritchard's about 14, I think, per game. Horford's 8, and then Hauser's like 7. And it's the same with the Nuggets if you had Peyton Watson and Westbrook. Like you're just kind of looking for that. I need three guys. There's consistency for three guys.
10 to 13 is a lot. That's a lot, considering Keon is averaging almost 12 right now. And we expect De'Aaron average 25 and DeRozan average 20 and Keegan average 50. Like, they average 140 points a game.
But
maybe.
Besides of how many points he's going to score right now, they don't have enough. I see how I see it. They don't have enough right now. You need more. You need another one. Like, that's the next step in this all is adding a Cam Johnson type.
Or I'll ask this. Who's taking a step back? Whose numbers are going down if Cam Johnson comes in here with 13 tonight?
I don't know. Trey Lyles can take a couple of shots. Can get a couple of shots. Like you figure that out when he's here, though. Like, you don't not trade for Cam Johnson because of that.
I don't think anyone has to take a step.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's losing out.
The idea that everyone averages their average every night isn't real. That's the Kenny Caraway school of math. That's why averages are averages.
I'm telling you, whose averages are going down?
No one's. Why do they have to go down?
Nobody's averages going down because there's not enough shots.
And frankly, Cam Johnson's a better player than Keon Ellis and Trey Lyles too.
I'm not advocating not to get Cam Johnson, but the thought that nobody's numbers will go down. Like,
Keon and Trey Lyles can go down, I guess. That's not keeping me from Cam Johnson.
Trey Lyles isn't here.
Once again,
in this scenario, I don't think Trey Lyles.
Well,
is here.
Going off of what Ham said yesterday on the Insider. He's brought up the first round pick Herter, and you can add a minimum deal in there.
Yeah, he said Trey doesn't have to.
Doesn't have to be a part of it.
That's kind of what I was going off of too, but.
What's Kevin's averaging? 7 points? So you move those over. We're talking, what, 3 to 5 more points?
Mm-hmm.
Is that hard for the Kings to find 3 to 5 more points?
No, it's not hard.
You're talking one shot.
It's not hard for the Kings to find that. All I'm trying to figure out is where the shot's going to come from. For Cam Johnson and these other guys continue to get.
He gets Kevin's 8 right out of the gate.
Kevin don't even get shots no more. Like
Kevin shot 8
is for
the
season. 8 is for the season.
Kevin shot 8 times in single digit minutes, didn't he? No.
The other night he shot twice and played what, 5 minutes?
I don't think that's true.
The game against, unless he got some in the garbage.
Washington,
time
he got six shots, I think, in Washington.
I think he did.
Okay, he got some in the garbage.
He played because I know that because he played in the fourth quarter. I was like, hey, what are you doing out here? Oh, it's a 20-point game.
I remember vividly. He comes in, misses two
shots.
He was
one of six. He was one of six in 9 minutes.
He must have played.
He did. He played
four of those at the end.
He played 3 minutes in the fourth quarter.
Because he came in. Missed two shots right away, threw the ball out of bounds.
He
on
did.
The back, and he didn't see the floor no more until the fourth. I was gone at that point. I had a birthday.
Wow, game. Leaving games early. What? Wow. Well. Wow. Wow.
But, Cam Johnson, you bring him here. I agree. You figure it out. All I'm trying to figure out is what does that look like? I don't know if that looks like who else has got 8 guys averaging double figures.
So then my question is, like, who's the player that you add, I guess, where just everyone gets there still?
Cam is fine. Cam is perfect with that. But like, is that going to look different?
But that's the thing for every player, though. John Collins.
What conversation are we having? I'm confused now. Do we want Cam or no?
We've always wanted Cam.
Okay.
Said that from the start.
Do we want Kyle Kuzma instead?
Like it'll look different. Like, Kuzma's
here. That's a different discussion, like the trade package and all this other stuff. Yesterday we said I would go with the Cam Johnson deal if it was there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd add
maybe Kings dating game. Yeah,
Kings dating game. Yeah. I would go with Cam Johnson if it's there. All I'm saying is, based on like the bench scoring and all this other stuff, like it's gonna look a little different than maybe people think, and he could still be effective. Keon can still be effective if he's averaging 7 points a game.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now, he's killing. He's averaging 11 in January, which is dope, but something's got to get when somebody comes in.
All right.
That's all I'm saying. And you guys are like, no, why does it? It'll all stay the same. So there's going to be eight guys averaging double figures?
No, I'm saying bring Cam Johnson in. Keon could take a couple less shots or whatever. Like, that's fine. If it looks different, that's fine. But I don't, like, what's...
We just said, what, seven? I mean, how many guys on the Kings are averaging double figures now?
Like five or six. The whole starting
five. It's got to be at least six. Well, okay, Keon's minutes were restricting to January because... Apparently he was dead before Doug Christie was the head coach. He was cooked before Doug Christie became the head coach. So we only acknowledge the Doug Christie era numbers with Keon Ellis. We'll come back.
It's like baseball. Speaking, we don't acknowledge
the dead ball era. Mike Brown is the dead ball era. We'll come back. Sorry, Mike. That's inappropriate. Bonte Hill coming up at the top of the hour. Since we're talking trades, can we revisit one with some context here to what's happening today?
Yes.
All right. Stilo and Casey brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. All right. We got Kings, Warriors tonight. Bonte Hill, Morning Roast. Warriors pre, half, and post coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. James Hamm coming up in the final hour of the show.
Real quick, I was listening to your hit on 95.7 The Game with Steiny and Guru.
Thank you.
Great job.
I represent. Yeah,
represent. Yeah. But we were talking about Mike Brown and Doug Christie and the differences. And one of the things I thought about when I was listening to that was a quote I remember hearing from Bill Walton. And it got brought back up over the weekend. And, man, it stuck with me. And it makes perfect sense to me. They were asking, Bill Walton was just talking. I don't even think I asked him anything. You know, he'd just be talking. And he said, you know, there's a problem with basketball today. And one of the problems is the game is overcoached and undertaught.
Hmm.
And that just makes so much sense to me. And not to crap on Mike Brown again, but I think that's the difference, one of the differences with him and Doug Christie. Mike Brown seems like somebody that would overcoach. Like, it's not necessarily about teaching you how to play. It's teaching you how this play is supposed to work or how this defense is supposed to work. It feels, I'm not in the locker room, but it just felt like it was specific to that moment of what I'm trying to get through to you, where Doug is teaching how to play the game of basketball, how to approach the game of basketball, where those type of things that you learn or habits that you get with him, you can take that wherever you go for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what system you are. So I just remember that Bill Walton, and it's not exclusive to Mike Brown, it just reminded me of this situation, is the game of basketball is overcoached and undertaught. And I think that's prevalent in the game, but especially in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said, and I think we're attempting to form educated opinions, not necessarily based on, you know, information people are giving us on background. It's information that we're all being told. When you listen to DeMar, De'Aaron, Malik, Keegan, Keon, Kevin, Doug, you listen to all of them, they're all using variations of terms that are like loose, free, relaxed. You combine that with the great reporting of Chris Biederman over at the Sacramento Bee and the things that he's been putting together, talking about practice times and how, you know, Doug has scaled back a little bit. And, you know, we talked about this before last season, that after that first year, Mike was probably going to have to change the way he coached this team a little bit. And it doesn't appear that he did. I don't think that was a massive influence on what happened last year, but I know people like to forget this, but prior to Malik getting injured and these different guys getting injured, Kevin getting hurt, Kings weren't playing great. They never had their footing last year. And when the Kings signed DeMar DeRozan, we said, Mike's probably going to have to make some changes. DeMar is 36 years old. Now you've got this team who's been, you know, kind of riding with you for a couple of years now. The old, you know, Tom Thibodeau, Chicago ways of coaching, where it's like, we're gonna practice as long as the league lets us. Like, I think twice about that. I don't know this for a fact, but I've heard a lot of players point it out to me in the past that if the shoot around goes over an hour, they're gonna be pissed off.
Right, it's supposed to be a shoot around.
Yeah, and it sounded like those types of things where something was supposed to be quick and easy would wind up being, and this was a line from, I can't remember who, but it was a King, and I think it was one of Biederman's articles, where we're standing around for 2 hours. You come in, you get your work done, you're moving, you're doing your whole thing, you're getting warm, getting a sweat, whatever, versus we come in, we get moving, and then we stand around for the next 2 hours. And that's where I kind of started to form the opinion, and something you said too resonated with me. The Doug focuses on what you can do rather than focusing on what you can't do. And Mike would be quick to point out De'Aaron, Domas, Keegan, Malik, Kevin. He'd be quick to point out all of their shortcomings. Doug is telling you all the things that those guys do well. What he's saying to them privately, maybe that's that might be a different discussion. It might be, hey, you know, keep taking that shot, keep doing that thing, it's there for you. But over here, let's try something. Let's try this. Presentation matters in that stuff, and presentation matters when you're being taught. The way that the message is being conveyed can go a long way to determining whether the person you're talking to is receiving it or not.
Right.
I know it does for me.
Right.
So I have to imagine it does. I think it does for everybody.
They, when you talk about like, focusing on what you can do, like he didn't even have to tell us, Mike Brown, he would show it in his rotations, right? Like you could tell his rotations were, can't play this guy tonight because he da 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 da.
Overthinking.
Right.
Like, play your best players.
That's it.
Play your best players.
Alex Lynn and Domas starting in the front court when, who was it, DeRozan was hurt? Bro, just play Keon. Or McDermott is starting because God, he did. Just play Keon. Like, what are we doing here? So, yeah, obviously, when anybody talks to anybody from Sacramento right now, they want to talk about Mike Brown and how that went down. And I was just listening to you this morning, and it just reminded me of that Bill Walton quote that I heard.
Doug McDermott hadn't started a game in the NBA since 2022.
Come on, man. Come on. That's longer than the last time. Well, no, it's not. I was about to say it's longer than the last time Embiid played in Denver, but no.
From 2014-15 to 2019-20. So we'll just say from 2014 to 2020. Mm-hmm. Doug McDermott never started more than 5 games in a season. He started 3 in the first 30 of this year.
Come on.
And with all...
Come on.
With all due respect to Doug McDermott, dog, like, in one of the games in defense of Mike, I think there were a couple of guys out. Yeah, it wasn't one person out. I think it was
that Utah game, like, Domas was out. It's like, DeMar, Malik.
I think Keon started that game. Like, you needed bodies. But it was like, come on, Mike. Mm. What are we doing, man? Don't do this.
Yeah.
He made it hard to defend. But I still, in the end, I thought firing Mike Brown was the wrong call. And I was wrong. So what the hell do I know?
Yeah, it happens.
Let me ask another question.
Okay.
It's difficult because we talk about situations. We're doing this quite regularly with Kyle Kuzma because this fan base, this chatty house, I'm just going to assume every single person listening to this program hates Kyle Kuzma and thinks he's the worst professional basketball player that's ever existed.
Yeah.
But we talk about situations. There was a situation last year where everyone knows it was very, very public. It happened in person in Sacramento. It culminated in person in Sacramento, where the Sacramento Kings were attempting to execute a trade for Pascal Siakam.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't, right? And so that left a lot of Kings fans frustrated. Depending on what you read, maybe it left Domantas Sabonis a little frustrated. But we knew at the time Pascal Siakam wanted a contract extension, a very healthy contract extension. Knowing what we know now, is everybody okay that Pascal Siakam deal didn't go through? Knowing he's owed $188 million, knowing he was coming here to play with De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis, he was going to be at its best the three guy, not the small forward, but meaning right. he was going to be the third guy.
Totem pole.
Yeah. But you still had Malik here, and you were still trying to learn some things about Keegan Murray. Hmm. Where in Indiana, he's arguably the one or the two, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, I mean, I think everyone believes that Tyrese is the guy on that squad. Siakam, I think, is the leading scorer over there right now. I think he has been. In hindsight, how does everybody feel about that deal involving Pascal Siakam not going through?
I'd be fine with Siakam here. It'd be all good, but I'm okay with it not happening because I also look at it as you wouldn't have DeMar DeRozan. And it's not the same as the people who hate Kyle Kuzma. I'm not on an island with liking Kyle Kuzma, but I'm on a, it's not a lot of people, it feels like, that like DeMar DeRozan here with the Kings. I think he's,
you're not quite Tom Hanks, but
I think he's great. I think you need to give him the ball more, give him all these opportunities more. I think he's perfectly fine. And having DeMar DeRozan to go along with Malik Monk, to go along with Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox and all these other guys, I think I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that. So to answer your question, I'm fine with it. And Siakam is a really good ball player, and I think there's a world where he would have worked out great here in Sacramento as well. But I'm happy. If you ask me the two scenarios, like you can get Siakam and you lose DeMar and all this other stuff, and we don't know how to fit is with Monk, I'm taking the DeMar acquisition.
I think.
Did you also factor in maybe you'd have to give up Keegan? Do you think that was part of it?
I don't think it was.
You don't think so?
Right. I mean, I don't know. Maybe in order to get the deal done, maybe it was part of the conversation. I definitely wouldn't have done it if it was. I wouldn't have involved Keegan Murray. I don't know how you. I mean, probably some form of a universal deal here and multiple first round picks. Harrison was still here. That's right. Well, what was the old universal deal? Harrison and Kevin?
Yeah, I think Kevin was part of it.
What was the original universal deal? Marvin and Buddy? Yeah. Marvin and Buddy. Shout out to OG.
Oh, brother. Yeah. That deal stinks. But I think
we
were
on
also
three teams since that universal deal.
We were also trying to get a first round pick in there too. That was also part of it. We were enticing people with the first round pick.
Right.
Which
okay.
We ended up not getting rid of.
I was just thinking. I mean, I know
that's a good call, though. That's a good question, because that's still a good group. We're talking Fox, Sabonis, Siakam, Monk. We'll just say, for argument's sake, Keegan is still here.
I think Keegan is.
I mean, that's good. That's a good squad too.
It is. Yeah. It is. It's an expensive squad, and I think Indiana has shown us this. That would have been the move. Like it was. Oh, this is a pretty good squad. It's either your championship squad or it's not. You're either competing for a championship with that team, or you're the Blazers.
Yeah.
You know, the Dame and CJ Blazers. And if you're we missed the fine. Like, we missed the postseason last year. Like,
give
it's fine.
That.
Yeah. Like, send me to the playoffs 7-8 straight years. I'm perfectly okay with that. But you've got to, okay, that was our move. Like, that's what we had. Indiana has made their move. They've turned their season around. They're, you know, 5-6 games above 500 or something like that, you know, right now after a tough start. So I think we, you know, as much as we, you know, we like to joke sometimes, you know, looking at this, I do think Monty or Wes or the front office, whatever, is GMing this team like they're going to be the general manager in 5, 6, 7 years. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're just like, let's go. I don't care.
Right.
Let's burn this bitch down. I just got it. Like, I don't think they're doing that. I'm like, no, what puts us, and I don't want to use the flexibility and whatever
It
was flexibility and something that was his, the catchphrase of like,
somebody gonna say it in the chat, man. It was, maintain and improve.
Maintain and improve was after the second year, but there was another one that
it's gonna bother me now. That's going to bother me because I know exactly what you're saying. I don't know if it. Yeah, I don't know. Somebody in the chat say it because I can't remember it.
How many of my headphones have just? Thank God, it's not my headphones. It's this headphone jack.
Ah,
all right. Don't talk to me, Jesse, because I ain't gonna be able to hear you. I'm gonna have to see if I can get Jonathan to fix this before Bonte joins us. So I think my headphone jack just exploded
again. No.
It's great. The studio is trying to kill me.
At least it didn't catch on fire.
Not this time. No, not this time. It's gonna be awesome when we bring Bonte in and I can't hear him. I'm just gonna sit back and like nod, like yep, word. Nah, that's cool.
Good luck. Do like DJ Envy did that time. They were interviewing somebody and he left. I think it was the Migos, and he didn't participate. He just left.
And his DJ Envy left.
Yeah.
Okay. Was he got beef with D'Amico?
Yeah, and maybe it wasn't D'Amico's. Man, I can't remember anything today.
Nothing was ever funnier than Joe Budden walking away from D'Amico's. Like, nothing, nothing's ever funnier than that.
That was an all-star. He's just like, it also gave us the academics meme or gif that I use often.
Mm-hmm.
The nervous, nervous gif. Oh, that's right. It was Deezus Amero. That's who it was. When he was mad about a joke they made about his wife. And he said, I'm not going to participate in this interview. I think he told him, and then he left.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's what you would do with Bonte.
No, I wouldn't do but I would just sit here and just nod, like make gestures while you answer all of the, you know, while you throw out all of the questions. Just like, yeah. It's cool. No, it's good. Good.
How we feel about the game tonight?
There's
a level of nerve. I mean, the Warriors Steph aren't Curry's good. There. Yeah, the Warriors aren't good. They look awful.
But they're not awful. Like, they're still 21 and 21. I guess the context.
They're a game behind the Kings.
Huh?
They're a game behind the Kings.
Yeah, but the it looks different because they won 13 of those games quick. Yeah. It's not like they've won 21 spread out over time.
Yeah.
They won 13 really, really quick. So over the course of the last 25, I think that math works. They look terrible, and so that makes them feel like they're a bad basketball team.
I think they are a bad basketball team. They're not good. Especially
how did they start? What was the record? 13-2?
12-3, I think it was.
12-3. How did you start 12-3?
I don't know. Remember that year Utah started off like 14-6.
Wasn't that last year?
It was 2 years ago. 2 years ago? When our guy Will was like, I told you about Utah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and then they never won again.
Remember it was Portland and Utah. They were like at the top of the Western Conference. Yeah. So I guess sometimes these things happen. I don't know. But I don't think they're very good at all. But I say all that saying, I'm with you. As long as Steph Curry is there. Yeah. And just the whole
dynamic. Hit threes versus the Kings. This, Draymond's hitting threes. Just everybody pack it up.
So get in his backpack and get out of here.
He is the backpack.
Jan Sport.
He is the backpack.
I was thinking about the Warriors earlier today, and you'll appreciate this. You know, Draymond gets on there and he's like, you know, me, Steph, and Steve, we're on the same page that, you know, we don't want to do anything to jeopardize the future. And I'm like,
what future?
Who are you to say? I'd trade you for a damn tuna sandwich. Like, what do you mean? We don't want. No, sir. No.
What about tuna and crackers?
No.
Oh.
No, he not. If they hadn't.
He ain't worth the crackers.
No, I ain't giving up the crackers.
All right. Well. You heard it. You heard it here first.
Come on.
What? Hey, everybody. Look, I don't know. Man, oh, you love crackers. I know. With that.
Real tears, man.
Real
tears. Come on, man. No, man.
Trump's America right here, baby. Trump's America right here. Goodness gracious.
Oh, I got real tears right now, man. Come on, man. I'm like,
Of course, Jordan Meeks. Don't we all kind of? Of course, Jordan. Of course he would. Settle down.
Oh, where's Stephen Brown at? Where's Stephen Brown?
Stephen Brown. Someone say cracker.
Oh, man.
But, all right.
Yeah,
well,
I don't know what
Draymond's not worth tuna and crackers. There you have it.
I don't know what Draymond's talking about. We are in agreement.
I love how everything with the Warriors and that dude is we. Sit your ass down.
Get out of here, bro. Man. Get out of here. He's not playing tonight, though, so we won't get a chance to boo Draymond. Maybe he'll be on the bench.
You know? I don't think the Kings are going to beat them by 30, though. I think the Kings are playing good ball. I think the Warriors got beat by 40 the last time we saw them.
Man,
that was after Steve Kerr said he watched the film.
Yeah, somebody said if you didn't watch film, it would have been 70.
Steve Kerr said, I didn't watch the inauguration. I watched Celtics tape. Then they lost by 40. Made the rounds on Warriors Twitter.
Jim Park.
I think, you know, there's something to be said for a team coming off an ass whooping like that.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
for sure.
You know, I think you're a little bit more locked in. Maybe you kind of are like, you know, maybe you got the Steph hand on the head thing. Like, I don't know. I don't think they're there yet because they are 21-21. They're still in a, Nils, like I told the fellas earlier, Guru and Steiny, like, if you get them in a playing scenario, you're talking about winning a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can win a game. Now, I wouldn't take them in any series,
right?
But they can win a game to get to a series. They could win two one-offs to get to a series. I just I wouldn't like them, you know, in a matchup against Memphis or Oakland or virtually anyone.
Yeah,
in the conference.
Seven-game series. Like, yeah. They got no shot against, I don't think, any of these guys.
Steph, I don't think, can carry you to a seven-game series anymore.
But, you know, you got Steph tonight, man. And it's national TV. They were embarrassed on national TV the other day. So there's pride that I'm banking on with a guy like Steph Curry. So, I'm definitely worried. I look at the game, though, and it's like it's easier said than done. It's not this simple. But I remember when my big bro, shout out to my man Brian. Brian Seaton was like, he is like 6'2", 6'3", like buff, right? Athletic, all this other stuff. So like when I was in college, you know, I was kind of slim and all this other stuff. He posed problems. So when I would play him one-on-one, if he was beating me, if we were playing to like 11 and he was up 7-2, he would just say, I'll let you blow by me and get to the rim for a layup. You're not getting no twos. Because my guess is you're not going to make enough 2 point or 1 pointers to beat me, right? Like, you might make two or three. I'm not going to overreact, but you're not going to hit 9 straight ones to beat me. But if you hit the twos, like, you can hit 2 twos, all of a sudden it's a 1 point game. And that always stuck with me, and I use that in this situation. There's no Kuminga out there. They're small up front. They're not going to beat you with a bunch of twos. The only way the Warriors are going to beat you today is if they hit 18, 19 three-pointers. So take the three-point shot away.
You need Buddy to get hot and Steph to be Steph.
That's it. That is how they'll beat you today. And if you take that three-pointer away, maybe you take it away and they drive to the basket and get a layup sometimes. Maybe. But they're not going to hit 60 field goals with all twos to beat you, especially with the way you're able to score right now and the numbers that you're – they can't keep up if they're not hitting a three-point shot. So take that three-pointer away, and if they can do that, I'm not going to predict a 20, 30-point win or nothing like that, but if they take that three-pointer away, it's a comfortable win tonight. Comfortable win.
All right, we'll come back. We're going to do an equipment change here in the studio, and Bonte Hill – going to join us at the top of the hour. We'll talk Kings, Warriors tonight at the Golden One Center. Steelo and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino, a Sacramento sports leader, ESPN 1320. It's funny. Yeah, shout out to Jonathan and Seth who came in here and got everything up and running again.
Those guys are the goats.
Properly, just during the commercial break, man. That's solid work. Did you see our girl Jen was here today? HR
yeah,
Jen?
Yeah.
So I was in early. Because Katie and I go to breakfast once a week, and so I was sitting over by their studio just on the couch. And Jen, just God bless her, Jen is the sweetest woman in the world,
she
right?
She is.
She walks over and she goes, hey. Say, hey, are you okay? I was like, yeah. She goes, oh, well, you're here early, and you're just sitting here by yourself.
Shout out, Jen.
I was like, oh, I'm fine. Like, I'm good. She goes, well, you guys just work so much. Like, we kind of get worried about you. I was like, oh, no, Jen, I'm fine. Like, I'm just waiting for Katie to leave the studio. It was good. She goes, oh, okay. so how is everything? And she, you know, she's genuinely asking, like, how's work? How are we doing with our schedule and all of that? And
bless her heart.
Yeah, I just thought that was the sweetest thing. But she had a genuine, like, I didn't, like, her words kind of confused me. I was like, oh, I'm fine. Mm. But then the look on her face was like, oh, she's genuinely concerned about me. Like, no, I'm fine. I was just looking for a place. I was just sitting. That's
basically,
all.
Hey, I kind of saw you eating lunch by yourself next to this trash can. Are you okay?
Oh, wait. That reminds me. I was thinking about this because last time I watched The Office,
oh,
a lot of characters came in. And I was trying to remember. What did we say is Todd Packer?
Todd Packer.
Who?
Yeah, he's the pervert.
Yeah, no, he's the inappropriate one. He's bald. He's got the side hair.
Okay, well, I know.
Oh, you're asking saying, who?
Did we just leave that alone?
Like, as far as the character in the, I feel like
Todd Packer.
Yeah,
yeah, you should probably just leave Todd Packer alone. There, I don't think Todd Packer ever uttered a line that you could recite today.
Well, no, I was.
No, he's saying who we compare him to in the office.
Everybody.
Oh, who would Todd Packer be?
Do we just kind of leave that? Don't nobody want
to. Oh, there's
Todd
no one in here.
I don't think
like
so
Todd Packer. No, there's no one
there
in here.
There was one. I mean, it was unfair because this guy doesn't do this. But I was like, maybe, but nah, he ain't like that. I ain't going to put it. I'm just too.
Do it. Don't do that. Do
I'm
it.
Just saying.
They don't even listen.
Ooh.
was Big Rich a little Todd Packerish?
You know what, Kenny?
Yeah, well,
you might be spot on. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. He didn't go to that.
Not
degree.
That extreme, but I mean, if you know the plays.
Yeah, that's not a bad.
Definitely
call.
Not that extreme.
Yeah, that's not a terrible call. That's not a terrible call at all.
And then Toby, I had never seen Toby before.
Okay.
Toby
was introduced. He was. I don't think Toby was in the first season. Mm-hmm. So you might have. I feel like Toby was in the Dundees, but maybe not. Maybe that was his first season. No. You might be right. Maybe the sexual harassment episode was his first season.
Did we give somebody a Toby?
No, because Jen is HR, but she is not Toby. True, like Jen is. Jen's
well,
terrific.
You guys know more about what Toby turns into. He was just
Toby
like
be
real...
pissing people off. So
Toby,
whoever kind of
Toby's just kind of like kind of
chill,
boring, and
Toby is the wet blanket.
Yeah, he's not like Jen is actually far closer to Pam than anyone else.
That's what I was thinking. Pam.
Yeah, she's a lot closer to Pam.
Yeah. Miranda.
We've got our Michael
Miranda's
Scott.
Like
that's
Pam
for
too.
Sure. Who?
Miranda's like Pam too.
Miranda?
I mean.
I was like, who the hell is Miranda?
Meredith.
Who's
are you thinking of Meredith?
No.
Wait, who are you talking about?
Who are you talking about?
I'm thinking of what's Bob?
Oh.
Malia.
Malia. Why did I call her Miranda?
I don't know.
Malia. That's one of the ways I remembered her name when I first met her was Leah. Like, I was like, oh.
Well, that didn't
Malia
work.
Malia like Aaliyah.
Well, that didn't work.
No, it didn't matter.
Yeah, toss that one in the trash.
It's like, I was like, oh, God, there's someone.
Miranda.
Like, what sort of jerk? Like, there's 12 people that work here, and I don't know one of them.
Do you guys know everyone's name here?
I was, but she's got a little Pam.
Do you not? Are you serious? Oh, man. What's my girl's name who sits right here? You don't know, do you? Oh. Jesse.
What?
Come on, man.
That's ridiculous.
I stick to Studio One.
Now, you do. Well, I don't know. Jesse is
to be honest, I interact with who I have to interact with, and other than that, I don't really interact.
Well,
that's Wesley. She sits across from Malia. You know who Malia is.
Yeah, I know Malia.
And then Karosh is obviously on the other side.
Oh, they got to hang out. I got
really, you don't take the heat, and you don't know everyone else, too.
No, there's one person that, like, kind of popped up. For me, at least.
Who popped up, and what do you mean? Like, you don't know who it is?
Where'd they come from? And I was happy to see them.
Okay.
But I don't know their name right now.
Is she with us? That's Pam. That's my girl Pam.
Oh,
yeah,
see, I didn't know.
Yeah, that's Pamela Love. A great name. Man. That's my girl Pamela Love. Love that woman. Yeah. Yep.
See, it's not just me.
Yeah. No.
Well,
it's all right. We got to be better.
I mean,
I don't know. Jesse's an Odyssey winner. I'm not an Odyssey winner. Well, I'm a two-time Odyssey winner.
You are.
So I don't know.
I'm a nominee.
Me and Kenny, me and Jesse can talk. You can't talk. You the Charles. Hey, don't you talk. Don't you talk over there, Kenny. We got Odysseys over here.
Damien, you said.
Don't you talk over here, Kenny. Hey, me and Jesse. Jesse can talk. Jesse got an Odyssey award. You ain't got no Odyssey award. I got two of them. I got two in 1 year.
Talk about those big old girls in San Antonio with them churros. Hey, Kenny. Them girls.
How do they eat those churros, Chuck?
Hell, them big old girls in San Antonio.
Man.
They need to stop talking about them women in San Antonio. I've never been to San Antonio. I've been to Austin, and it's a very nice place. I've been to San Antonio. I've never been to San Antonio.
It's a river walk. Yeah, I think the women's Final Four was there one year. Yeah. It was fine. It was cool. It was fine. It was nice. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Seems like a nice place.
Yeah, you just walk the river walk and
that's
drink.
It. What did Charles Barkley call it? A creek?
That old creek they got over there.
You just walk along the creek and, hey, let's stop here and have a margarita and some chips. Let's stop here and have another drink. Like, it's like, all right, like, cool.
I ain't gonna lie, man. And I'm not saying it like Sacramento is Las Vegas, but Riverwalk being your main attraction, that's kind of tough.
Brother, I can take you to Modesto if you want to see a river walk.
I can take you to Laguna Creek.
Yeah, you want to see a river walk? It's a local creek right down the street, pal.
You ain't even been there.
I'm just saying.
Nah, the river walk is cool.
Why would I go hundreds of miles to go to the river walk?
Well, I don't think you go to San Antonio with the purpose of going to the river walk.
Why do you go to San Antonio?
Well, that's a different story. I think the Alamo is there.
The Alamo is there.
For those that are into that sort of thing.
Well, the Alamo is kind of unimpressive, too.
Yeah, it's like...
I've never been there, but I'm just looking at the video.
Kids, pack your bags. We're going to go see the Alamo this weekend.
Here's the worst take that so many people will hate. You talk about underwhelming. Like, the Grand Canyon is underwhelming. Mm. It's a pain in the ass to get to. Mm-hmm. Like, to get through and checking it. It's like a campsite or whatever, and you go in, and it's like, oh, okay, we're at the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
And then you walk over, and it's like, wow, this is incredible.
That's it.
Well, what do I do now? Like, okay, here's, am I, I guess I can hike it.
You can walk around it. On the little clear thing.
Yes. No. I'm good on that.
I agree.
Yeah, no. Like, oh, wow, that does go pretty far down. Okay, let's get back in the car and go to wherever we were supposed to be going to.
I can see different parts of the same exact canyon. No, dude, it's not impressive to me.
Well, at least it's still, like, it's kind of amazing to see.
Yes.
Like, that much of an area. Like, yep. That Alamo's not really amazing.
That quickly. But just be clear, it, wow. So, is that it? Do we get back in the car? Like, what do we do now? I had more fun at Graceland. I didn't even like Elvis. It was like, oh, this is where he made his peanut butter sandwich. That's fun.
I went, we talked about it, my first trip to Yosemite. That was pretty impressive.
Well, you have taken some strange trips in your
I have. Your days. Yosemite was pretty impressive. The only thing, I remember about Yosemite, I shouldn't say this, it's not the only thing. I remember a lot about it. And it was very impressive. It was very cool to go see that stuff. But one of the things that will always stick out to me from that trip is I missed the gold medal game. And people were losing their mind.
Oh, this one, right?
No, this year. Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yosemite.
Were losing their mind. Mm-hmm. And at one point, I had almost finagled a situation. Mm-hmm. You know, we had been out for a while, and they're like, oh, we're kind of tired, kind of hungry. And they had a bar there.
Uh-huh. I remember
they had
this
a restaurant.
Story.
Yep. I almost finagled. I was like, well, we could just chill in the parking lot. I'll go inside. You guys do this. And they didn't have no parking spots. So we parked on the side of the road.
I remember this story. Yeah.
I missed it all.
I remember this story.
Damn. John Bull has kind of got a point. He's not wrong. He says Sutter's Fort is cooler than the Alamo.
Oh, don't they leave, like, fake dig for gold over there or something?
I've been to both, and he might be right. he might be right.
No, think about that. If Sacramento was like, come to Sacramento. We've got Sutter's Fort.
Yeah.
And Laguna Creek.
Yeah.
I think we went to Sutter's Ford Elementary School. I had a good time.
Well, Visit Sacramento is a thing. Is it what does Visit Sacramento tell you to do?
You're not far from everywhere else.
Okay.
Well,
you go to a Kings game.
You go to a Kings game. I'm sure downtown Sacramento's got to be better than the Riverwalk.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing.
You go hit Midtown.
SEC Center is not even downtown. It's like where Arco used to be.
What's not downtown?
The barn.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Tragic. I drove by Natoma.
First of all, I think we're crapping on the Riverwalk a little too much. The Riverwalk is nice.
You've been there.
Yeah, it's nice. You would know.
It's nice.
Is it better than the Riverfront in Old Sac? Going by Joe's Crab Shack?
Yes, bro.
And the Delta King?
Yes.
Does it have a Joe's Crab Shack?
Is there a tower bridge in the background of the Riverwalk? No, there isn't.
Okay.
Stop. What are you going to Joe's Crab Shack?
Yeah.
You're going to
What are you doing with him?
Hold on. You go out there to the Riverfront, you're going to Joe's Crab Shack or Chevy's on the River. What are you talking about?
Yeah, Joe's Crab Shack's fine dining, bro.
Go to the Delta King.
You can barely walk in Old Sacramento.
Okay. Yeah, no, that is a little dangerous.
You go eat on the boat that's right there?
You got to wear your insoles the way if you go on Old Sac.
Kenny and his insoles. We need to get you an insole endorsement.
It's all this better than
ridiculous. Kenny becoming an old man right in front of us. Got new glasses
man,
that he's got to wear.
Man, the insoles is clutch. I got them on right now.
Kenny drops his insoles about... Maybe once.
No, he wants
weeks.
Us to know is he's it, getting
it,
old. That's
it's
what
it's a
game is.
Changer. I'm trying to get you guys on it. It's a game changer.
What do I need them for?
It's like comfort.
When you're on
you
the
wear a lot of Jordans.
I'm comfortable.
You wear a lot of Jordans. A lot of expensive
no,
shoes.
So here's the thing.
Don't like.
Here's
they're
the
not
thing.
Like Air
I'm
Maxes.
Done. I'm done. I just gave Kyle a brand new pair of Jordan 1s because I just refuse to do this anymore.
Ooh.
I put those on the other day. I was like, these aren't comfortable. I literally took them off and threw them on the ground. These aren't comfortable
Damn.
Anymore. I'm not wearing these.
Well, hey, this is my whole point. If you had the insoles, you wouldn't be
there's
worried about
no
it.
There's no way insoles make Jordan 1s comfortable.
They do.
There's no chance.
Yeah,
well, didn't Rasheed no Wallace play basketball in Air Force 1s? I'm sure those, those insoles or whatever.
That was
no, he had to. I played pickup in Air Force 1s. I thought my shin was going to snap.
Have you worn anything other than a Nike Air Force 1 in the last 2 years? Do I need to buy you?
Do slides count?
No. Let me ask you something. I'm dead.
Oh yeah,
serious.
I got a pair of Air Maxes. They're kind of trash now.
Okay, I've seen them. They're the white ones.
They're trash now.
They look just like your Air Force Ones.
I'm not gonna lie. Well, I bought the Air Maxes because I forgot my Air Force Ones and I had to go to a party that night.
Okay. Oh, for God's sakes. Do I need to call Crystal?
What? She's fine with it.
No. I got that. Do I need to buy you? Do we need to chip in and get you high-end Air Force Ones for your wedding?
No, I've already had that conversation. I've already had that conversation.
Okay,
she shut it down.
Okay, yeah. So you okay?
I'm with Crystal.
I just want to be clear. You tried.
Yeah.
Okay, and she said no.
Yeah, bro. I wore a white tee to my grad pics. I'm me 1,000%.
Do you know what type of dress shoes to buy?
Yeah, I got dress shoes and stuff. I just don't like to wear it because it's not comfortable.
Jesse, when was the okay? I'm not expecting you to wear.
I bought dress shoes for Kenny's wedding.
I have all this stuff.
I don't like to wear it.
Okay. I wanted to know the last time you had worn dress shoes. It was
probably
the day
Kenny's
after
wedding.
It was the day after you bought them.
Yeah.
You bought them, you wore them, and
you put
them away.
Did you take them back?
Nah, I got them for
fine.
The next.
Dress,
I got them
fine.
For Martin. I'm just playing.
See, that's fine. Those are like you look, I bought a really nice pair of dress shoes because I know I'm not going to buy another pair for 10 years.
Yeah.
You throw them on, you wear them, you good. Dust them off, put them back in the covers, in the box, boom, and we good.